Thank you.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Can I bring to you the love of the brothers and sisters, of course, at Wardley? Interesting, brothers and sisters, what we've been asked to do, isn't it, by the Apostle Paul? Something I hate. I had to do it this week. I still hate it. Did it the week before as well. I hate it. I had to do two exams recently. One was to make sure that I was safe and someone that was, about trustworthy, but certainly knew what they were doing when they were safeguarding children, so there was quite a big exam on that. That was quite interesting. Thankfully, with the help of my wife, we got through it. But it's not my favourite thing. And then this week I was on NIOSH course, which is lovely health and safety. And again, there was a test at the end of it. And they asked me to, do you know your knowledge now? Let's test your knowledge. Let's see what it's going. I didn't like it. I'm just no good at tests. I remember years ago sitting there at school just blank. You know, there was nothing in there. Well, there was, but it wouldn't come out. You may be brilliant at tests, and you know, that's great. If you are, if you're someone who enjoys it, I know my wife enjoys tests. She goes off and does them. She does millions of tests. She's done lots of things to get to where she is, and she enjoys it. But I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy looking at myself, trying to remember things. I don't enjoy doing it. I'm a very practical person. If they'd asked me to strip a computer to bits and put it back together again, guess who'd have been there? If they'd asked me to take a car apart, I'd do the same. Not perhaps some modern cars, but certainly older cars. But I'm quite good at that sort of thing. Anything practical, hands-on. Show how you do things in school and how I look after things in school. That's not a problem. I can do that. I've been watched. I've been observed many times in school, and that's not a problem. I can do that because it's a practical demonstration. How do you put the stage up? How do you put the stage down? How do you work on a genie? And if you don't know what a genie is, it's a high lift piece of equipment which we have in school. And I'm going to be tested again this year on that. That's fine. I love that because it's driving a bit of kit, and we usually get to drive bigger bits of kit, and I love that. So it's fine. And I'll be tested on that, no problem. Whether I pass is another thing. And I do remember when I learnt to drive the big trucks. And in fact, it was around Darlington that I learnt to do it. And I loved it. I loved driving lorries. I enjoyed it. It was great fun. And again, the test came. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually failed, but we won't go into that. But, you know, the next time we did pass. I'm no good at tests. That's what I'm saying. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, brother, sister, can you look at yourself? See, he had a problem, or I say he perceived problems within the Corinthian church. And he said, they were great, they were fine, they were doing their best, but we know what the First of Corinthians brought up, didn't it? You come along and you all eat together? No, you don't. You have your basket over there, which has got caviar and got all the lovely stuff. People over here have got all the other organic stuff, that's very nice. The people over there have got, and there's a poor brother or sister sitting in the middle with their cheese sandwich, and that's all they had. That's not what you've come to do. That's not what you've come to remember. You've come to remember this. The instigation of this. I mean, how simple would you have made it, brothers and sisters, the simple breaking of bread? If it had been us, we'd have made it a bit more complicated. Perhaps you have to do this and you have to do that. And you've ever been to a high churches and done various things. They do make it relatively complicated, and that's their way of doing it. But we, very simply, don't we, have simple wine. We have simple bread to represent that most important thing, the death of our dear Lord. So are you good at tests? Because the Apostle's going to ask us, he's going to ask us to examine ourselves, he's going to ask us to look at ourselves, he's going to ask ourselves to check ourselves out and to make sure that we are. That's difficult in itself, isn't it? Going back to health and safety, I won't bore you, but it's interesting. When you do health and safety, you go round a property. And if I went round your property, I could most probably write up several things that were wrong with your property. Very easy. And I would most probably see what's wrong. And you think, well, I've never noticed that. It's always been there. And that's the problem, isn't it? When we look at ourselves, when we actually decide to examine ourselves, well, you know, I watch the telly so I can see the news. In fact, you watch the other programmes and various other. I listen to the radio because I like to hear the news. We can justify, can't we? I read the paper so I can understand what the news is about. But I do like looking at the gossip. I do like looking at who's doing what and what's doing where. And we can justify, can't we, very simply. And what we see inside ourselves, what we look at, is sometimes polarised and missed. Now, this is not an occasion for us to go out and start examining other brethren and sisters. That's not what he says. But we're good at that, aren't we? Have you seen brother so-and-so? Have you seen sister so-and-so? Have you seen their attitude? Have you seen the way they are? We're very good at examining other people, aren't we? Yet have you gone up and said to them, I've noticed there's been a change. Can we help? Is there something wrong? Is your faith slipping? Normally we go up and say, what's the problem? Give me a bit of gossip. And we tend to be a bit like that, don't we? But that's not the thing, is it? You've come here to check on ourselves, he says. Come here to look and to concentrate ourselves. He told them that in 1 Corinthians 11. We know the chapter really well. The Apostle Paul said, stop what you're doing. Let's get back to basics. Let's make it a simple, simple thing. What the Apostle was trying to do in the 2 Corinthians, and he hoped to come back again. He never did make it, did he? But he hoped to come back again. Was to show them and to teach those at Corinth a little bit more about his authority. Now, he wasn't doing it from, oh, I'm the great Paul, look at me. He's saying, no, I'm Paul who's had contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Paul who's been given a directive to help you, the Gentiles. I am the one that's been given that authority. I am the one that has been given that by the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when he asked for things to be taken away, even when he knew that he was failing, what do we see there in chapter 12 and verse 9? But he said to me, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has spoken to me. This is some authority, isn't it? This is quite authority. You know, Paul's not saying, well, I've just had a thought. Perhaps we ought to love each other. Perhaps we ought to get on with each other. No, he was saying, brothers and sisters, I learnt that from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The apostles learnt from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The only way we can learn, of course, unfortunately, is from the sometimes flawed and sometimes not always well way of just reading. But it's there, isn't it? So he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So if you're ill, if you've got an illness, do you think of it as a positive thing or a negative thing? I think of it as a negative thing. I feel unwell today. I feel weak. I don't feel too good today. I need to have a lie-in day. I tell my daughter quite often, she laughs. I say, it's a lie-in Thursday, I say. We're going to lie in today and not go anywhere. I'm too tired. I don't want to go to work. I'm feeling unwell. I'm not happy. Things aren't as they should be. I feel. We can be like that, can't we, brothers and sisters? But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the Apostle Paul, whatever his problem was, whether it was his eyes, whether it was something physical from, you know, when he was sought on that road, whatever it was, whatever the physical thing that the Apostle had, he said, that weakness makes you think again. That weakness makes you think again. I remember a lovely occasion where a brother, it wasn't so lovely, but he thought he got himself into it, and he wasn't a young brother. He thought he got himself into such a good position. He was a very good speaker. He was an extremely good speaker. He could really take from the Word of God and make me feel very small and make me feel very big and make me feel, you know, he was very, very good. And he did it quite well, and he was able to quote Scripture. I remember him once standing on the front. The reading was, I think it was 18 or something like that. And I thought, he's reading that well. And I saw him with his Bible like that. And he was reading it verbatim because he remembered it. And I thought, oh, shouldn't envy, but I do. I envy this brother because he's able to do that. I envy him because he's able to do that and he's very good. And I used to speak to him and ask him how to do techniques of how you should speak and how, you know, all that sort of thing. And he could tell me how you should speak and how you should present yourself, how you should do things. And that was all wonderful and fabulous. And then the poor brother had a heart attack. Knocked him sideways. And he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. Because he suddenly realised it wasn't about being the good speaker. It wasn't about being able to read the Word of God verbatim and being clever and look at me. And that thorn in his flesh which he suffered for the rest of his life, this heart attack and what subsequently sadly killed the brother and put him to sleep in the Lord. That was the making of him, he said. And he wasn't a young brother. He was almost retired. And he'd got to a point where he thought he knew it all. So here the apostle is saying, I have learnt from the Lord Jesus Christ, in the point when I feel weak, that's when I'm strongest. What it does, it grounds you, doesn't it? It keeps your feet firmly on the ground. The one thing that can happen in any organisation, and I suppose happens within ourselves, is you can end up feeling that you are on a pedestal, that you are better than anyone else, and that you are above everybody. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I am not above you. But I get my directions from the Lord Jesus Christ. I get my instructions from him. And that's why I'm asking yourself to look and to think about where you are. Now, if we're doing it right, that's what we're doing every Sunday at least. But hopefully we're doing it all day and every day. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm reading from the ESV. If you're wondering what version. That's what he's saying to us. He's saying, I get my authority from the Lord, from him who died, the one that put himself into the position that we know of being on that cross. So my things I'm teaching you, he goes on in chapter 5, you go back to, if you remember reading chapter 5, he talks about it there, how that he was saying, I'm instructed from the Lord. I'm not instructed from anywhere fairy. Look, brothers and sisters, here in Corinth, he says, I'm instructed from Christ himself. And where does Jesus get his instructions from? Well, you don't need me to suck you along that way, do you? Brothers and sisters, when we look at ourselves and when we confirm, when we try our best to see our sins and see what's inside us, can we begin to do it? Come across to chapter 13 there, and we're going at verse 4. Because he says this very powerfully as well. For the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified in weakness. To the world, it looked like a complete joke, didn't it? On the cross, dying like that. How daft. Come on, get out. You think you've been tempted, brother, sister. You have never been tempted till you stood on the cross with the power of the Lord God. And someone says to you, come off the cross. It must have, perhaps, I don't know. Would it have passed his mind? Perhaps it didn't, and perhaps it never did. And we pray that it never did. Yes, if it had stepped off, they would have gone, whoa, look at this. And there would have been many believers. There would have been many people that would have believed. But he was there to be weak. And in the flesh of his human body, to put himself to sacrifice, to die for you and me. And that's what the apostle is trying to get us to think about. But he lives in the power of God. Who raised him from the dead? Who brought him back from that place of destruction? The one and only person that has grace and can give it in its abundance was the Lord God. And he raised the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and me, whatever we think and whatever we feel, wherever we are in our faith, have that place of able to be in the kingdom, that place that we wish to be. But in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. It's giving respect down the line. It's giving respect to all the various people. And of course, it's God at the top. The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, of course, because of his experience. And yes, of course, because he spoke to the apostle. He spoke to the apostle out of the power of God. He spoke to the apostle from the position where he was when he was on that road. And so the apostle now tells us, does he? To examine ourselves. Examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, brother, sister, that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you feel that? Do you understand that that is, should be in us every day? Do you understand that we should have the Lord Jesus Christ deep within us? He would say in other parts of the Corinthians, he will talk about the temple. He will talk about the body. In fact, I'm going to take you to a place where he talks about that as well. He talks about the body, doesn't he? Being part of, you know, us being part of that body and the Lord Jesus Christ being the head and all the rest of it. But do we feel he's in here? Do we feel the Lord Jesus Christ is deep inside us? That's what the apostle he's asking us to test or to look at. The Greek, apparently, and I'm not a Greek historian, I'm not a Greek historian at all, but I was looking at the Greek of this, and apparently what the Apostle Paul is trying to get at as well is he's asking those at Corinth to examine what he said, to look at what he's done, what he's said, what he's put forward, test it, see whether it is of the Lord. And we know Peter's view on it. Boy, he says some tough stuff. And Peter said, I don't understand all of it, but I know he's of God. And some of the stuff that the apostle talks about, some of the stuff he said, certainly in this second letter, I don't know how you've found it as you've read through it. Have you found it tough? Have you found it more difficult than the first letter? Or is it a bit more flowing, the second letter? He certainly doesn't make it easy. Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So what is the test? What is the test that you're going to put yourself to? What's the test that you're going to make? Well, I tried looking, and yes, we've got that lovely verses, I guess, even in that we've read in the Psalms there. He's talking about looking at and testing your faith and all the rest. There's a lot going on there, isn't it, in that 119th Psalm, the whole of the Psalm, not just the bit we read. How do we begin to do that? How do you begin as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you begin to do it? The Apostle Paul said this when writing to the Roman church. Come to chapter 12. This is one of the most powerful chapters, I think, for a Christian, for us Gentiles. I'm trying to get it from our point of view, because we're not natural Israel. We're not natural in what we think about. We're not natural in our human being life. We're not natural, are we? He says to them, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's where we're starting. That's where we're beginning to do it, giving our whole life over. Look over the last week. Think over the last week. How much and how much measure have you given over to God? Is it a lot or a little? I know my answer, and it's not as much as it should have been. It's perhaps a little bit more because I've had to think, concentrate on what I'm doing here now. But it's not as much as it should be. It should be in my every thought. But it's difficult, isn't it, when you're dealing with other things in life. Which is your spiritual worship. This is it. This is the test. This is where you should be testing yourself. Where are you in that scale? Where are you? Are you literally making sure that in every thought, in every decision, you do your best to take it to God? Then he goes on to tell us even more stronger words, brethren and sisters. And this is where it becomes tougher for us as Christians. Because the apostle wanted those at Corinth to have the same view. He wanted them at Corinth to have exactly the same opinion. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of, guess what? Your mind. Yes, your body could be going this way. I want this, I want that, I want the other. But your mind should be focused 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the God and what he's done for us. That's what the apostle's saying. So if this test is to test what the apostle said, well, we look at it. How do we test it? Well, we look through the Bible. We perhaps even look back at what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to us. That's another way of testing. But the apostle Paul here is trying to get those at Rome to understand, and those at Corinth no different, that it's the minimum requirement. Can you turn your mind away? The renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We've got to be perfect. Now, for someone who's a perfectionist, or tries to be, I tend to want everything to be perfect. So the problem with that is, of course, what happens... I should really start something like Perfect Anonymous, because, to be honest, you need to get rid of your perfectness, because although we try to be perfect, although we try our best to do everything exactly right, you cannot do it, can we? We are so flawed so often that we do find ourselves in situations where trying to be perfect doesn't work. But the Lord's saying, no, you've got to be perfect in your thoughts perfect in your attitude and doing your best to give your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy, is it? Giving up everything, making sure that everything you do and everything you've got is given up for the Lord God. Because I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want a little bit of this, and I want a little bit of that. And we're so good, again, at justifying, aren't we? But the apostle goes on to tell us in this 12th chapter of Romans, "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." We don't all have the same attitude. I always think sometimes, and I don't know how else we'd do it, and I'm not criticising how our brotherhood works, but we have this thing that, you know, perhaps you have a year or 2 years when you've been baptised, and once you've gone through that bit, certainly as a brother, then, okay, right, you can do everything now. And it's almost like, right, you can doorkeep, you can do... I know a brother who's absolutely petrified of doorkeeping, only in the simple reason he finds it the most unbelievably hard thing to come up and say, "Hello, how are you?" And even with his own brothers and sisters, he finds that hard. So for him, who I think, doorkeeper's easy, just go, "Hello, hi, how are you?" Write a few things in the book and carry a few emblems. It's double, easy. But for that brother, it's the toughest thing in the world. We all have different measures of faith. We all have perhaps more deeper attitudes of faith. Some of us, you meet the characters, you meet people that have deep faith. Funny enough, we were just talking before the meeting, and I'd been reminded of a brother that is I've known many, many years ago. He was tremendous, Brother Omar, which we were talking about. And his attitude to the faith was so simplistic, it was wonderful. He was a carpenter by trade, and one of the things I said to it was brilliant, because he used to say that that was the time when he could talk to God. He didn't pray to God, he talked to God. He said, "I could talk to him while I'm doing, I mean, amazing things I couldn't even try to do. Dovetails, I mean, you ever tried? Mine are also. His dovetails, I couldn't pull apart. No glue. Dovetail together. You couldn't pull them apart. He made cabinets that you couldn't pull apart unless you put some serious force on it, because of his absolute skill and knowledge of woodwork. But his simplicity, belief in the word. And I remember him saying something to me which I've never forgotten. He told me, because when I remember doing my very first talk, it was at the Camberley Ecclesia, and they were lovely people. And I thought you had to get as many books together and know enough about all these different books. And it was on Revelation chapter 12, and I was totally lost. A brother who should never have actually been speaking on this particular subject, because his knowledge was, well, woeful, to say the least. So I came along with all these quotes from all these different books, and I was going through all these different quotes. Well, Brother so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said this. And everybody was going, "It's very lovely." And at the end, Brother Omar said to me, he says, "I give one suggestion to you. Throw the books away. Not because they're worthless, because they're not. You know, the brethren could put together some lovely stuff." He said, "You don't understand it." So he said, "Put it away and just use the word of God to teach you about Revelation." Boy, was he right. He was no great scholar. He had a measure of faith, he had a measure of place, and he had a measure of his attitude towards the coming of the kingdom. He's fallen asleep now, and I know he lives ready for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know if I could say someone should be in the kingdom, if I dare say that to God, there's someone that perhaps should be. Do not expect, brethren and sisters, what I'm saying, all of us to have the same measure of faith. The all to have the same measure. He says, "For as in one body," and here's where we said we'd go to this, "we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." If you're good at going to people and saying hello, "Ruth's mum," I won't embarrass her too much, "Ruth's mum, in hospital, unwell." Right? Quite unwell. Seriously unwell. What's she doing? Serving teas and giving people glad tidings. She's the ill one, you know. Get back into bed, you're ill. No, she's up, she's doing. And that was her. I couldn't do it, I'd be lying in, typical bloke, I'd be lying in bed, "Oh, I'm ill, I can't move." But there she was, up, and she was doing, because she could meet, she could greet, she could say hello to anybody, she could ask people things, and she could do it. Brethren and sisters, whatever your function is, whatever your thing is that you can do, whether it's from playing the organ, to singing songs, to whatever it happens to be, from just doing the displays for the tables, by just plugging in technology, whatever it is we do, whether it's just giving the due word in time. There was a very, very dear brother in one of the ecclesias I was at, and he would not speak, he wouldn't do anything really, but my goodness, his words of wisdom. He said something to me, because I was in a bit of trouble, or at least as perceived by the ecclesia. And he said, "You know why you're in trouble?" I thought, here we go, he's now going to tell me, you know, because you're doing something. If you weren't doing anything, you wouldn't get into a position where people would comment on what you do. Keep doing. If you're wrong, you're wrong, but keep doing. And it was such wonderful words. He would have gems like that, which I've forgotten, but there was a brother telling me, look, okay, you're not perhaps doing exactly as you should do, and perhaps you do need to be, as a very young brother in the faith, knocked down a little bit. And when I look back, I am horrified at what I saw. We need to check ourselves, brothers and sisters, to see what is our function within the brotherhood. So we, through many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If you're good at something, don't be frightened to use it. If you're good at something, use that talent, whatever it is, and you will know your personal talent. Being in the audience, helping a brother or sister in due time, that's enough, if that's what your faith and that's where your situation is. So are we examining ourselves? We should be. It goes on in verse 9 of that chapter 12 to tell us this word: let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, and to one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And if anybody knew about tribulation, I have never been left outside, having been stoned and given up for dead. I have had someone say, "Oh, you're a Bible basher." I've had someone say to me, "Oh, isn't that a load of tripe that you're talking about?" I've had someone shut the door in my face. I've had someone set the dog on me. These aren't tribulations, are they, brothers? These are minor things. And the Apostle Paul, I don't say would laugh. They were quite hard for me, and then, you know, found it difficult at the time, but I still do. I still knock on people's doors and still try my best to preach and to teach the gospel if I can. Constant, brothers and sisters, constancy. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to be. Being constant, trying your best to be constant, zeal, and having genuineness. What he's talking about here, I don't know if you can imagine the amphitheatre, you know, sort of perhaps even I don't know if you can think of the various theatres that we've got. And the way they do it, of course, is the tearing out, and the actor should be out without technology these days. Of course, they use all mics and stuff, but without technology, they should be able to project their voice to the back and all the rest of it. What the Apostle Paul knew about, certainly in the first century church, what they used to do, because some people were so far away, because some of these amphitheatres were quite big, and people couldn't quite tell which way they were looking. So what the actors used to have was these various masks. I'm sure you've seen them. The happy one, the sad one, the not too sure one. And the Apostle's saying, don't do that. Don't put the acting on. Don't become an actor. Don't come along to the Sunday meeting and say, this is me, look at me, aren't I a great Christian? Be absolutely genuine that Christ is within you. That's what the Apostle's trying to say to us. Making sure that if they're going to take this test, if you're going to look at yourself, if you're going to examine yourself, and if you're going to examine anything, make sure that what you've got inside you is pure. Do you instantly come out with words? Do you instantly talk about things? Do you instantly talk about the faith to someone? Or is that the last thing you would personally talk about? I must confess, as I've got a little bit older, I've found it easier to talk about who I am and what I am what I try to be as a Christian. When I was younger, it was tough. But now, not that I don't care what people think, but I'm not worried what people think. And so a teacher asked me, who I've not sort of told them I'm a Christian recently, what are you doing this weekend? So I told them. She went, oh, okay. I didn't want her to say, oh, look how clever he was. And she said, I wonder why you spoke well and why you actually talked well. And when you presented things, which I do get to do occasionally with the teachers, you were able to do it. She didn't want to know about the faith. She didn't want to know about the truth. She didn't want me to go and elaborate about it. Teachers are lovely. They do like to listen, but they don't always want to listen to everything. She didn't want to know about it, but she was intrigued. And I suspect, as I have done with one or two of the teachers over time, I will get the chance to talk to them about our faith. And I will get the chance to eventually show them perhaps one or two things, and especially enter into conversations when they say, what is the world coming to? Ever heard that in your earshot? Have you had the opportunity, have you had the courage to say, well, I can tell you what the world's coming to, because I've got the information from the best source in the world, the Lord God. He has a plan and he has a purpose. So, brethren, sisters, can you find where you sit? Can you find where you are? Can you make sure that when you find who you are, that you put your all into that? Can you make sure that the church that you work with, the ecclesia we work with, gets the benefit of whatever that is? And, of course, watch out for those of similar talent, because the other problem you'll get is you perhaps will start being jealous because they're better at it than you. But that shouldn't be the thing, should it? Because if we're looking at each other, if we're examining ourselves very carefully, then that should not be part of it. And so, brethren and sisters, as we think on these things, as we begin to try our best to make sure that we are doing what the apostle asked us to do, are we able to look at ourselves? Are we able to look very carefully and to make sure that what we're saying and what we're thinking is right? Making sure that what our attitude to one another is correct. Because we have one great example, and that's who we're going to remember in a very few minutes. The Lord Jesus Christ showed us exactly how we should behave. The Apostle Paul is saying to those at Corinth, test it, look at it, see if Christ is in you. And if he's not, then you need to do something about it. Because I know from what the Lord Jesus Christ has told me, says the Apostle Paul, that I'm doing right, that I'm teaching you right, that I'm showing you the right way, that I'm encouraging you to be stronger in the faith. Because all we need to do next week is to be stronger, isn't it, if the Lord tarries. We need to be able to face those things that perhaps we wouldn't normally face, to have the courage to do those things perhaps we don't normally do, to use the talent that we have in a positive way so that our brethren and sisters, ourselves, can benefit from it. It's our richest resource. And let's make sure we use it to its best advantage. And so, when we come to look at this, will we examine ourselves? Will we look at ourselves? Will we concentrate on who we are? Will we make sure that we're doing the things for the truth? Will we make sure that we're doing those things that are right? The psalmist said, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears towards the cry. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all trouble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and serve and crushed in spirit. Many are afflicted of the righteousness, but the Lord delivers him out of all. And that's what we've got, brothers and sisters. We trust in him, if he's in us. The Lord is always with us. And that is proven by him who was prepared to give his life. He knew God was with him, even when he was tempted. Even when they said, come down off the cross. He knew it was God's will that he should die, so that we have a chance of life.